When Congressman Charlie Wilson set off for a weekend in Las Vegas on June 27, 1980, there was no confusion in his mind about why he had chosen to stay at Caesar's Palace. He was a man in search of pure, decadent pleasure, and the moment he walked into the hotel and saw the way the receptionists were dressed, he knew he'd come to the right place. No doubt there were other members of the 96th Congress who fantasized about orgies and altered states, but had any of them chosen to take the kind of plunge that Charlie Wilson had in mind, you can be sure they would have gone to some trouble to maintain a low profile, if not don a disguise. Instead, Charlie strode into the lobby of Caesar's almost as if he were trying to imitate his childhood hero, Douglas MacArthur, majestically stalking ashore to take back the Philippines. He looked in no way ashamed or uncertain about what he was doing in this center of gambling and entertainment. In truth, it wouldn't have been easy for Wilson to fade into any background. 6'7" in his cowboy boots, he was handsome, with one of those classic outdoor faces that tobacco companies bet millions on. And he just didn't have the heart or the temperament to operate in the shadows. He felt like a soldier out of uniform when he wasn't wearing his trademark bright suspenders and boldly striped shirts with their custom-designed military epaulettes. Moreover, Wilson had never been able to shake the politician's impulse to take center stage. He covered ground rapidly, shoulders back, square jaw jutting forward. There were no volume controls in his voice as he boomed out greetings with astonishing clarity, and people in the Caesar's lobby turned to see who was making such a stir. He looked like a millionaire. And the truth was, after 8 years in the Texas legislature and almost as many in the House, he had nothing to show for his efforts but debt and a $70,000 a year government salary that didn't come near to supporting his lifestyle. Along the way, however, Wilson had discovered that he didn't need money of his own to lead a big, glamorous life. The rules governing Congress were far looser in those days, and he had become a master at getting others to pick up the tab. Junkets to exotic foreign lands at government expense, campaign chests that could be tapped to underwrite all manner of entertainments, and, of course, the boundless generosity of friendly lobbyists, quick to provide the best seats to his favorite Broadway musicals, dinners at the finest Parisian restaurants, and romantic late-night boat parties on the Potomac, all of which explains how the tall, charismatic congressman with the blazing eyes and ever-present smile had grown accustomed to moving about the world with a certain flair. And so, as he arrived in Las Vegas, he was observing his hard and fast rule that wherever he traveled, he went first class and tipped lavishly. The bellhops and receptionist at Caesar's loved this, of course, and Wilson, in turn, appreciated their outfits. Little white goddess robes showing lots of cleavage for the girls, and Roman togas and sandals for the bellhops. In all of Vegas, there was no place like Caesar's Palace in 1980. It was the first of the great hotel emporiums to be inspired by the fall of a civilization. Its promoters had the genius to recognize that the sins of Rome could seem far more enticing than any contemporary offering, and as the young Roman in the toga whipped out the gleaming 2-inch-thick golden key to the fantasy suite, he opened a door designed to lead even the most pious of visitors straight to hell.